Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, traders and investors. Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. I'm Joel Elkanen here with Dennis Dick. Spencer Israel on vacation on the East Coast. I hope he's driving safely out there. We got a fun show lined up for you today. Technical Tuesday here. We got some big news on Apple. So we will talk about Apple trading news, not really a downgrade, but cutting, whacking iPhone shipments, thin markets. We'll talk about the related suppliers and how they're going to be trading on this news. Talk about the range-bound SPUs going down on the lower end of the trading range at 2680. We'll see if we can take that out. Continued strength in the steel markets as well. A quick rundown here of the markets. The SPUs have a little over a six-point range, 2689.50. That's just under your high from Friday at 91 even. 84.5 is your last print. That's just above the low at 83.75. All of our lows from last week are right at the 26.80 level. We have crude trading down 6 cents at 58.41. Gold up 450, 1283.30, going back to 1300. Silver lagging a bit. That's only up 8 cents at 1552. And after some pretty volatile trading last week, Bitcoin is on the rebound here. Currently trading in the 1500 handle. We got down to 11.8 last week, but back over 15,000 at 15,400. Dennis, happy Boxing Day to you.
It is. It's a holiday for me. I'm supposed to be just, you know, relaxing and taking it easy, but there's no rest for the wicked, so I'm in here. Even though I got a sore throat still and still fighting this cold for the last week and a half. Seems like when I get sick, I hadn't been sick in a long time, but when I get it, man, it doesn't go away.
Any good presents or any good Christmas stories?
Over the holiday here, not too much, actually. No, just enjoyed it with the family. But what was interesting is my boy's 3 years old, so he's we're you know, I always like to go lay in bed with him usually early in the morning, and he was still sleeping, so I just lay down with him about 7 o'clock, and then, you know, he kind of stirs a little bit, and then he looks at me and he says, "I think I hear Santa." That's the first thing he said. Was "I think I hear Santa," and it was my wife actually downstairs just making coffee. I was like, "I don't know if it's Santa you're hearing. I think it might be mommy." But I'm like, "Let's go downstairs and just check it out and see if Santa came." So he was pretty pumped up for it. So it was fun because like the first year, he's 3 years old now where he really gets it. So with the whole Santa Claus thing, so that was fun. How was your holiday?
It was excellent. It was excellent. I saw two movies, Father Figures. That one's okay, but
Star Wars.
No, I don't gotta go see Star.
You didn't see Star Wars.
No, I saw a very good movie, and for any of you history buffs here, you got to see The Darkest Hour with Winston Churchill and the whole talk about England and World War II. I don't want to bore you guys, so I'm going to bring...
I still can't believe you didn't see Star Wars, though. You go see two movies and you don't see Star Wars.
Dennis, you got to bring up IGC as we talk right now, IndiaGlobalizationCapital.com. We just have a news release here that they have announced plans to develop blockchain technology for the medical cannabis industry.
IGC you're talking about?
Yep.
I see actually multiple ones here this morning. This is going to be one of these days, is it? IGC is off the, that's like a bulletin board stock, I believe. I don't even keep any quotes on it. Also, SEGI, Sycamore Entertainment and Freeburger Company, launch blockchain project. People just launch a blockchain project. And then there's another headline coming from Long Island Iced Tea, which is now the Long Blockchain Company. And they're saying they've added $2 million in debt and convertible debt facility here, so they're getting some funding too. But yeah, I see the IGC one as well. So we got SEGI and IGC are your two new blockchain plays of the day. Again, can you get quotes on these? I think these are just over the counter here though, so I don't think there's any quotes at
I
this
got
time
the IGC yet. I did get that. It went off the board at 66 cents yesterday, just doubled.
Oh, you know? I see it now. I do. I see the IGC.
Yep, $1.48.
Wow.
Yeah, if you're, I mean, that. I don't want to pick up exactly where we were last week with talking about these blockchain stocks or whatever, but $1.48 backed off to $1.35. I've just keep your eye on the pre-market high. Just remember, you know, with these stocks might be losing its luster a little bit. Remember what Long Island Iced Tea did in the pre-market, and you know,
I remember the pre-market. It went from $2 to 15. Then right. It came back in.
Right.
It did. This thing's only doubled. It doesn't look like that. You're right. It is compared to what they've done, but it's early yet. It's only been reported 6 minutes ago. You think there's more money in there, Joel? What's your over under here?
Oh, and the IGC?
These are gambling stocks, guys. Yeah, so if you're playing these, remember, this is just speculative capital only. But India globalization cap, what is the actual headline of it? So we've got the headline says, I'm just reading from the Global News Wire too. I'll read it right to you. India Globalization Capital today announced that it will leverage its existing team of technology and healthcare experts to develop methods utilizing blockchain in areas such as product identification assurance. What the hell all that means, I don't know. According to a recent study that was published in JAMA in detail, nearly 70% of all cannabidiol products, I think I said that right, cannabidiol, products sold online are either over or under labeled. So I guess they're looking at better ways to label these things.
I don't know.
Blockchain technology.
$1.50.
Any regard, it's $1.52 now. It's still going, Joel.
I'm a buyer. I guess if I'm a buyer.
Are you a buyer?
Yeah.
I'm destroying it.
I mean, it's $1.50. I mean, the most I could lose is
$1.60.
It's moving up in pennies, though. $1.60.
We gave this 10% ago, which was actually 10 seconds ago.
Let's see here. $1.65. Is there anything on a daily here? Broke out.
You're going back to 2014. You're getting back 3 years of losses here in like 10 minutes.
I don't know if it was a reverse split candidate, but a long consolidation period here since 2012. It's breaking out above it. But let's cover some real stocks here, Dennis. And believe it or not, here on this Tuesday after Christmas, we got some big news on Apple. And analysts cut iPhone X shipment forecast citing lukewarm demand. Now, you and I went back and forth on this a little bit, and I'm like, well, who the heck is analyst? But you had a much different take on that.
Well, give the actual detail. Who is the analyst? You know, tell the listeners. Because they don't know the actual details. So give the analyst the actual headline first.
Okay. CenoLink Securities Incorporated analyst Zhang Bid sent in a report Monday that handset shipments in the period may be as low as 35 million or 10 million less than previously estimated. So that's the news, and the street is taking it and running with it. I also mentioned to Dennis, very contrarian view here, and it Barron's comes out, Apple's golden moment. As it nears $1 trillion in market value, the world's most successful company still has plenty of ways to reward shareholders. I guess I could just throw that in the trash bin right now, Dennis.
So, yeah, if this wouldn't have came out, Apple would have got a Barron's pop here this morning. Obviously not happening here with the other news coming out about the shipments there. So Barron's seems to have impeccably bad timing lately. You know, we know, well, maybe not lately, but, you know, for a long time they've had some bad timing. Great articles. It's influential. You have to still read your Barron's, but at the same time, their timing is sometimes just a little bit, you know, bad luck, because you would have got a Barron's pop probably from this morning. It was a cover story, Apple?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Boom,
it was
boom.
A cover story. Usually the cover story will move, so I wouldn't have been surprised if Apple would have been a buck up this morning, but because you all of a sudden have this shipments cut, I mean, that takes precedence, obviously, and Apple's getting shellacked here on this news. Apple trading down about 5 points here on this news here from the analyst about the shipments here of iPhone X getting cut. And I mean, that makes sense to me, you know, that you're going to see this week, because you got to think that's where they make, you know, is over, you know, obviously in Asia is where they make the iPhone. So you get an analyst over there cutting, you know, as a supplier or cutting, you know, estimates for iPhone X. I mean, who knows better than the country where they make them?
I mean, you've seen this before, though, right? I mean, you know, with different different releases and different iPads and stuff, and it starts out slow. I mean, from a fundamental standpoint, I mean, I don't Do I really need a complicated iPhone X phone? I mean, I'm not going to, what do I have, a 6S or 5S? I don't even know what it is. But I mean, until that thing goes kaplooey, I mean, I don't even need this thing. It's just way too complicated, way too many functions. So that's from a fundamental standpoint. From a technical standpoint, this is a very, very big move for Apple, down 463 at 170.38. 169.75, that is your pre-market low. Let's go to the dailies here, and let's see. Basis the daily charts, not seeing much at 170 even. My interest would be peaked here just under 169. Three lows at the one, let's just call it 169 even. Those three lows are 891, 882, and 879. So that's the way I'm looking at it technically, Dennis. How are you looking at it fundamentally and technically?
Well, a couple points here. First, you know, they're still going on. It's Technical Tuesday here, so we're going to talk a lot of technicals here and a lot of other stock charts as well. And again, in the chat, if you have any stock you want to look at, let us know. But one thing to consider, this is holiday trade here now. A lot of people, you know, the markets are closed in Canada, for instance. You know, a lot of people, day after Christmas, it's going to be thinner. The market's going to be thinner. What does that mean? It means stocks can move around a little bit more. So if you have a real seller coming in, all of a sudden, there's maybe not the buyers that are typically there. So even, you know, you don't even know if all your market making firms are online. You know, maybe some of your high frequency traders, maybe some machines take Christmas off.
No, but
there is people behind the machines. It is usually thinner markets. That's one thing to consider. So moves can be a little bit exaggerated, actually, when you do get market moving and fundamental news coming out like this. So I'm not surprised Apple's showing some weakness. If I'm looking at just on technical basis, I think that double bottom from I'm going back to December 8th and December the 11th, 168.79 and 168.91. I mean, that's one level to think about here.
I got three lows there, Dennis. I got 891, 882.
Big level.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then Spinner comes in and says Apple 50-day average 169.
There you go. We got a level for you. Spinner has given us the technical on the 50-day 169. Joel and I are giving you the triple bottom that's at 169 there too. So there is definitely probably some buyers maybe lurking around that area. So pulls back to that area. That's an area where I think you might have some bottom fishers come in. So keep an eye on that 169 level. We have not been there in the regular session yet, or in the pre-market session.
Yeah, and like Dennis said here, if you're looking to cover short here, the longer it takes to get to 169 or just under it, the more chance you get some kind of a rebound rally. If you come through it and cut right through it and go to 167.5, then you might have some little bit more problems that could be acting as resistance. 500,000 shares have traded, so that's nothing to sneeze at, much more than anything else. That's probably even more than Bank of America has traded this morning. But when things happen to Apple, Dennis, you got to look at the Apple suppliers here. So do you want to run down a few of those?
Sure. Let's go down the list. The first one I always think of, and you know, I think everybody else thinks of it as well, is SWKS, Skyworks Solutions here. It's trading down 2.8%, but let's just run down the list. And you know, if Luke's in the background, or if the pro team's in the background and I miss any, or if chat, if there's some other ones you can think of. I mean, there's a ton of suppliers. I'm going to give you the main ones here. Cirrus Logic is an obvious one as well. CRUS, that's trading down 2.5%. You can go to QRVO. That's trading down 2.5%. It seems like they're pricing these things down 2.5% for this. Finisar, FNSR, we know they just had the relationship with Apple recently. Talked about, obviously, when it got the big pop, you can see the gap up on the charts from 20 to 25 when they worked that relationship with Apple. Well, it's hurting them today, obviously, with Apple supplier or Apple iPhone X estimates potentially getting cut here. FNSR is trading down 1.8% in the pre-market. And then you start getting some smaller LITE. Lumentum Holdings, that's trading down 3.5%. I know that on the desk they were saying even HIMX, but that's got its own problems. That was Citron lately, or just like a couple weeks ago there. So it's not traded at all here this morning yet. But I'd say the main ones I've got are SWKS. I'll just go over the list of one more time. SWKS, which is Skyworks. Cirrus Logic, which is CRUS. QRVO, which is Qorvo. Finisar, FNSR, and LITE. In chat, let me know if I missed a major one.
All right, Todd, just real quickly here, I'll just try and give one number on the downside because that's where we're going to be looking here. And first thing with Skyworks, Dennis, this thing doesn't look so perky here after the iPhone release. So maybe some smart money had some idea of this. All-time high, 117.65. Just trading down on light volume in the pre-market. My focus number for SWKS is the December 6th low of the move at 93.05. Let's move on to QRVO. I'm not exactly sure what they do for Apple, but base the daily chart. Look at that. That doesn't look so perky either. Looks like some people might have had some inkling here. That's trading at 66.40. The number you need to keep an eye on is 64.72. And I'll even bump that up to 65 because you had three lows around 65 in mid-December. The other stock, Finisar, it looks like it was a fade on that Apple news. They were investing $384 million. Look at that. That was sold from the moment it came out. 21.
Too big of a pop, I think.
Yeah.
Stock was in the doghouse, and then it got over 10% pop on the Apple news, and it's just slowly filling that gap. And
I don't know.
It gets back down to 20. It's interesting, but that looks like a gap fill potential to me. Here.
Yeah, 1989 would fulfill the gap fill. I'm not going to do HIMAX or HMAX.
Should mention Broadcom Spinner, bringing that up, and I forgot it too. AVGO. I actually had it there. Written on another spot on my piece of paper there, and that is a good one too to talk about. Broadcom down $5 on this as well. So AVGO is another Apple supplier as well.
This just sitting at the lows of the session. Your not a lot of volume hitting this one. Recent low of the move in this one, 254.20. I'd keep an eye on that if it gets down there. But isn't it interesting, Dennis, how all these stocks, compared to Apple, who was knocking on the door of an all-time high and Barron's thought it was going to push it there. Look at that, 177.20 went off the board at 177. But all these suppliers were lagging before this news came out.
Yeah, SWKS, like you were saying, was up at 117 a month and a half ago. 97 is already down 20 points from where it was. Cirrus Logic, too. They've all kind of been lagging for a little while. So good point, Joel. QRVO had a terrible month. You think about how good the month has been for a lot of stocks. Not for, some tech hasn't been that great. But, man, QRVO, you're talking about a stock that's down like 15% in the last month. It's been a rough December for a lot of these Apple suppliers. So great point.
Is this spilling over in – is this going to be like a major tech wreck?
I think it's going to not help. The Qs are so – you got to think, the Qs, Apple's obviously the biggest component, so that's going to weigh on the Qs themselves. They're trading down a dollar here in the pre-market. But, you look at stocks, Microsoft is trading down. You can look at, at the semis there too, NVIDIA and Micron. They're both trading down significantly in the pre-market. It's not going to help. I think tech is going to be money moving out of it here today. So at least at the morning. And, it's all about rotation. So then you got to think, okay, while they were rotating out of that, what are they going to rotate into here this morning? There's nothing really jumping out at me here yet. The S&Ps are down five handles here as well. But I think you'll find something. I see Boeing's trading up a little bit here in the pre-market. There may be some financials that are, going to catch a bit. Although right now the financials are red. So hard to say where we're going to rotate into, but as we see, if we even see on the show here in the next 40 minutes, if I start to see some sectors start to light up green, I'll let you know. But as of right now, market overall weak, but not, NASDAQ's going to be the leader on the downside.
Hey, take a look at the NVIDIA chart here. This is really interesting, Dennis. Not quite 200, but just under 200. You have a 4 highs. Four highs at 198. So if you're thinking of shorting this thing in the hole for a longer-term trade, just look at all that resistance above 198, four consecutive highs. So someone stepping down off the $200 level, this chart looks like it could roll over as well. All right, 820 S&Ps continue to leak, making new lows for the sessions. I just want to emphasize our traders. I'm going to bring up the daily chart for the S&Ps. All the lows last week between 79 even and 82.25. So you talk about a big level here this week. This 2680 in the S&P 500 futures is going to be huge. We haven't talked much Bitcoin, Dennis. You want to talk a little XBT or BTC if you have a Merc?
Give us the technicals, what happened here over the weekend, because I just read in my timeline that we had an 18% range in the price of Bitcoin here over the holiday weekend. So they don't close for Santa Claus, this Bitcoin market. It stays open. Talk to us a little bit about what you're seeing, first of all, in the technicals on Bitcoin itself, and we'll just update you on IGC. It's approaching $2 now. It's $1.88 now. So,
Dennis,
good call, Joel.
When are you going to stop buying that thing is what I want to know.
I'm not in that thing. So I lay off these little Bitcoin plays.
Okay.
They're not my style.
All right. Well, I want to give you one observation. Being the loser I am over Christmas and the holidays, I was looking at charts and doing some studying. And the thing that is kind of interesting about Bitcoin here, and especially Dennis, is you and I are open, high, low, close guys, right?
Yep.
So they trade on UTC time. You know what that is? Universal's time.
Like a world clock. Isn't
yeah,
it?
It's a world clock. And that's 5 hours ahead of us. Right. Because remember, I was talking about the open and the close. Now, someone can correct me here if I'm wrong. So that makes the open 7 o'clock p.m.
Even though there's never really an open.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I was just looking at, you know, the highs and the lows. And let's see here on the 24th, which was that? That was Sunday, right? It got down to 12,747. And then now we're rebounding back over 1500. Here's what I'm looking at, Dennis. You had let's call the high that one day in 17th. I don't know where what it printed, but just call it 12,000, or excuse me, 20,000 is the high, and let's call 12,000 is the low of the move. You know, I'm focusing on 16,000 here. That's the 50% retracement. That's got to be some resistance. I think you're going to go up and test this $16,000 area. I think you're going to be a little bit of range bound. And then on the downside, I know you had a low of 11,833. But, man, you think they're going to test the waters at 10,000, you know, just to get that, just to put strike the fear of God in people. But so those are the levels right now, low of the move, just under 1,200. And I'm looking at that 50% retracement is 16,000. We haven't hit that today. We're trading up nearly 10% at 15,611. So,
I mean, if I was trading just from a technical basis, and I'm not trading Bitcoin at all, I mean, when you come up, when you have a move down of 7,000 or 8,000, you know, you're talking about a 30% drop or 35% drop. When you get back up to that 50% retracement, those levels mean stuff. Why? Because there's so many people. Everybody who bought this thing after Turkey Day is looking, and all of a sudden they're starting to get their money back, and they're like, oh, you know, get me out, get me out. You know, because they weren't buying the day after Turkey Day. They had to open their accounts when they heard about it. There was a lot of people, you know, it meandered there around, what, 18, 19,000 for a couple weeks, did it not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
so definitely. You had
basically a long
what
time.
Was happening. I talked about this last week. You kind of had people, you know, you had the insiders. We know the Litecoin guy sold, you know, Bitcoin Jesus sold. You know, a lot of people, a lot of long-term insiders who were lightening up their positions to who? To the, you know, grandma and grandpa who heard about this thing over Thanksgiving. I fade grandma and grandpa all day. You know, they don't know, you know, anything about the markets. There's a lot of people that bought Bitcoin that literally don't know nothing about it. What does that mean? It means they're weak hands. It means they'll want to, you know, they're going to be like scared all of a sudden. So things starts to come back up. There's always loss aversion in newbies. So they don't want to sell at a loss. So it starts to get anywhere back up near their price, they'll be trying to get out. So I think it's a lot of overhead supply now between 16 to 20. So if you're coming in here now, you're buying it up here at 15, 16, I think you're buying it right in to where that supply is going to start. So I think it's going to be a tough road, at least for a while for Bitcoin. That's just speaking purely on a technical basis. On a fundamental basis, I can't speak it because, like I said, I've tried to value this thing. I've tried to figure out, you know, what is the value. People say, well, the value is in the blockchain. Well, everybody's using blockchain, it looks like. Everybody wants to use blockchain, it seems like. So why is Bitcoin have, you know, they don't have a monopoly on blockchain. So you can't value it that way either. So I can't value it. That's why I don't buy it. So I can't sit and crunch numbers to come up with a fundamental value for Bitcoin. So I'm out and will not probably ever be in my investment portfolio there. And I don't know if I'm a believer that it's going to be the dominant new currency. I've said that before too. Everybody knows I've been kind of like a bear, you know, not that I've had a position on it the whole way, but I haven't been, you know, a drop dead believer in this Bitcoin rally. You know, obviously I was wrong for a long time and maybe I still remain wrong, but I'm not going to change now. So what are you doing with your Bitcoins?
I'm just holding it. I'm just holding to it. Yeah.
You scared about the technicals here? Cause I don't like the technicals.
I mean, I'm not scared.
Jeff, hold on.
Yeah. Jeff was buying more in the bloodbath on that.
Jeff,
yeah.
More.
Yeah.
You got to follow Jeff Goldman. He knows what he's doing, this Bitcoin. So Jeff's buying, and that's okay, I guess. But yeah, when Jeff hits a sell button, I don't want anything to do. I wouldn't want to be long. Jeff has been right on Bitcoin. He's buying at $100. Wasn't he?
$200.
I mean, that's as long as anybody, I think, you know, that I know of.
I'm going to trade it technically.
$100.
And as I was alluding to before, you know, with the changeover in time, you closed right around 14,000 yesterday. And then your low is going to be right around 14,000 today. But the thing that I was looking at, and, you know, short-term trading, you had a double top from the 24th at 14,626. On the 25th, you hit 14,593. So you did have a double top. And that was after coming down. You had seven lower highs in a row. So once it broke that double top, I'm not sure what time of day it did that. It did a nice run. But now targeting the two highs it had on the 22nd and the 23rd from 15,603 to 15,943. That's right at that 16,050%. So I'm just going to trade technically, Dennis. I mean, the fundamentals, I don't know.
All you can do, there is no fundamentals, Joel.
Yep.
In my opinion, you can't trade it from a fundamental basis because you can't calculate a value. So you can trade this thing technically, and that's all I got.
All right. That's
in my opinion.
Right.
You know, and anybody can prove me wrong, and they can sit there and calculate and come out and come up with the math, because there's no earnings. There's nothing to calculate. There's nothing there. That's why I've always said I don't think the big money is coming, because I think behind the big money, there's a lot of CFAs behind the big money. And when you start sitting there and, you know, the CFAs, you make your calls from a lot of your major analysts there. And I don't know, like, when they make your calls on a lot of your institutional money as well. And when you sit there and you put pen to paper, how do you calculate a value?
Do you want to look at some Bitcoin stocks here? We just had IGC here at 190, backing off here at 175, running perhaps.
That's more fucking IGC. That's the new Bitcoin stock, the Bitcoin play of the day, I guess. India Globalization Capital. So it is what, up now 200%?
Let's see here. IGC.
About 200, I guess.
Yeah, we gave you that. Luke had it here first, up 160.
Luke. What's Luke doing? Why is Luke down here?
We're a little light on the desk today. We're a little light in the office here.
Get ready, 8:30.
We got Dustin and Chris. That's about it. Oh, Ty and Nick and Luke and me. That's about it.
Nick's there.
Yeah.
Nick, watch those Bitcoin boards right now at 8:30. This is prime time for when these things announce their blockchain.
What do you think? You think we're going to get a blockchain stock here at 8:30?
8:30 sometime. I'm watching. I'm
in 15 seconds.
I'm there too. So Dennis, we're watching the news wires. Joel's pretty quick on the IGC one. He was quicker than me.
All right.
So we're watching. There's Nikki. Okay. Nick Shaheen's coming here too. There's Nikki Shaheen kicking around.
All right.
So we're going to hit him in a couple minutes. Okay, quickly. Let's just talk a couple other ones. Riot. Talk is technicals. Technical Tuesday. It's all you can really talk on these things. Give us some technicals on Riot. We had the double top put up there, say around $46. It's been straight down ever since. But then we did bounce off the psychological level of 20. It is up a little bit more here. You think like a 50% retracement of the recent fall? How are you playing Riot?
Man, this thing is a ride here. We cleared yesterday's high in Riot. We're trading up 269 at 27.21. Let's go to the dailies here. As long as we're above 26.46, that was a high from Friday, you got a chance. But the high on Thursday was 36.07. Boy, oh boy. I'd first keep an eye on 27.80. That was your close from Thursday. Lost a couple bucks on Friday. So we'll keep an eye on 27.60. And then I guess, I don't know, where do you want to figure the whole 50% retracement from? If you want to figure from 8 to 46, it's 38, 19. I don't know. This 27 to 30 area for me, I don't know. I just would look at it as resistance for now. One did held up pretty well. Overstock, OSTK.
Big short interest.
Yep, look at that. That held $60 on Friday. So
that's got overhead supply issues too.
Yeah, not that much though. Oh yeah, 82.70. I didn't see that.
Print. I think so.
Yeah.
So you were still running over $70. You got a lot of people who are underwater. That thing about the last few days as well. But you know, there's a lot of shorts that have been squeezed the hell out of that. I don't know if we squeezed them out of it or not yet, because over a 40% short interest on OSTK. So
$70. You had a break from 82.70 down to 58, 68, 78. 25-point move there, right? 12.5 on top of that. 70 to 70.5, your close on the 20th was 69.95. So I would be looking at as a potential target. We covered Riot. We covered Overstock. Long Island Iced Tea. Spinner had to call on that one. Just giving you an example of why you have to listen to Ben Zynga's pre-market prep show. We covered live when it went to 15:40 and never even saw that in the regular session. This is, I mean, what are we doing here in it? LTEA, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard here. It's flat, man. All these other ones are trading up. This is flat here at 6:07.
Well, it's up 1%. That's a nickel.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. 6:30. That's what you need to keep an eye on. And that was the high from Friday. You get to 6:30. Actually, after all that trading on Thursday, the only close you had at 6:91 as opposed to your high of 9:49 during the regular session, and then hit 9:49 that day, and then 15:40. So, Elfin, we can't forget about Elfin, LFI.
Our friend that came on CNBC and said he doesn't understand why his stock is trading up as much as it is. Down to 41, it got the beats on Friday. It's popping a little bit to 46. I mean, eventually you got to think all these things are coming back to where they came from. So I think when I look at these things 6 months from now, I think Elfin is a $5 stock. I think LTEA is a $2 or $3 stock. I think Riot is a $10 stock. That's my price targets here 6 months out. So I don't know where they go in the short term, and obviously there's going to be some cost of borrow, some other considerations. I don't know where they go in the you can't know anything, but I just know from my experience, these things get into a mania. They start all popping. I mean, they change their name, and all of a sudden, it's the next best thing to, anything out there. I'm not a buyer. So I think, when the dust settles here, I think you're left with a lot of dust.
All right, so let's see here. S&P is down $1.50. It's 8:33. You want to go a couple more minutes, or do you want to bring Nick in?
Bring Nick in early. We love Nick, so bring him in here on the fly, Nick Shaheen, and he'll talk. He can talk these Bitcoin stocks. Nick, that's a nice thing about the technical Tuesday, because nobody's better than talking the technicals than our options specialist, Nick Shaheen, who's calling live here from California. Hey, Nick Shaheen, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We're doing well here. What do you think about all these stocks we were just talking about, like the Riots? And, you can talk anything technically here, but what are your thoughts here 6 months to a year out? Do you think these things are still popping? Like, I've just gave the argument, I think they're all going back to where they came from eventually. What are your thoughts on Riot and Long Blockchain, which is old Long Island Iced Tea, LTEA, and, all these other, Bitcoin, short-term plays?
I think we're going to have to see what the P&Ls say to see if it supports the speculation. So there will be shakeouts. So there'll probably be winners. I'm not sure about how. You also mentioned Overstock. I missed how Overstock got into it, but it is, some of them have a legitimate claim to benefiting from this, latest craze of blockchain / coin chase, I should say. And I started reading about it. We started discussing it more. And the more I think about it, the simpler it gets as a concept. And I think one day it's going to be like a light bulb that goes off in my head and I'll know it inside and out. Until then, I'll just be very cautious. And if I want to play any of these, it has to be a lottery ticket, meaning I won't invest enough to break my piggy bank or my heart. It's just like a lottery ticket. You buy it and you hope it works out.
Well, that's the consideration here, too. I mean, this is all just speculative capital here. I would never put real money into any of this stuff, any Bitcoin play at all, because it is still speculation.
Well, I got an email. I shared a part of it from one of the exchanges I opened an account with.
Tell us about that. I saw the
post. It was that was the start of the email, and then it talks about security and all of that going down the line. And so you guys were talking about trading it technically. I agree. I mean, I was able to technically trace Ripple and all of that and opine on it and tell you where it's going to go based on the chart. But I don't think you can trade it because it's not that liquid. Even if you do sell it, you can't get the money out. And
slippage, too.
So your execution is not guaranteed wherever. So I've placed a couple of trades and they failed. So I guess that place, if I wanted to trade it, I would have failed.
What do you mean you failed? So you tried to buy one of these things and you couldn't buy it?
I did place a trade, and it said my bank rejected it. So,
what currency? What crypto thing did you apply?
I tried Bitcoin Cash when it wasn't in favor, because I charted its relationship to actual Bitcoin, and I thought it was on the bottom, and I thought it was going to swing higher, and it did a lot. I missed it because my transaction failed, and I was guilty of not pursuing it. But it was just a small amount of money, just so I can scratch the itch of being involved in crypto.
These aren't like stocks where you can, like the exchanges where you seem to be able to just get in and out easily.
Right. You can't just trade it yet. The way I see it, every exchange has restrictions here and there. And it takes what? You told me, I think, Joel told me it was like 10 days.
A week. A week.
A week. Yeah. Okay. So that's an eternity for me. So then that forces you to put more money into it, so you can have free cash that doesn't need to settle, so you can trade with that.
It also depends. I mean, if you're going to Gemini and you have the funds there, they clear immediately. Nick, why did you go to this exchange, CEX.io?
I every link I clicked on led me to this one, and that was really one of many I opened. I didn't fund that one, so
apparently they have better marketing.
Seriously, it would be the name of another exchange, and I click on it, and I end up on this website. It was amazing. So I was like, I'm curious to see what the heck it is. It's a slick platform, but again, it was sluggish, it was choking, it was dying, and here comes the email here. So if I had funds in there, I'd be as like, oh my gosh, where is my money going? But I wasn't going to give them any serious money, and they don't require any serious information to open the account. So I was like, I'll open an account and see what it's all about.
All right, Nick, let's get to some stocks here. And obviously, you've seen the big news on Apple this morning. Give us your fundamental and your technical take. I mean, you really can't ignore this news.
No, you can't. And I've been saying that, at some point we will worry about the $1,000 phone. I can buy three laptops for the price of one phone these days. Not to pick on Apple. I mean, Samsung is not that much cheaper. $800 phones. That's a crap load of money. That's my opinion, technical opinion. When I bought three phones for my family, it was a BOGO on one and the other one was free. So I basically paid in the 200s, and that's a more reasonable amount to pay for a phone. I will never pay $1,000 for a phone. I don't need a phone that badly. If I need to, I'll stick my butt in a chair and I'll use the computer for that. So technically speaking, fundamentally speaking, you can't argue against Apple a lot in the long run. For now, it's a boulder. It makes money, even though I don't like the leadership. However, technically, it was dancing up against a level where it could have been a step up. But given this news, that air will come out of that balloon. So it could swing a little bit lower. Now it's towards the lower end of the range I've been trading for the last, since November, mid-November or so. So if you're a trader, then you can probably situate some sort of a swing trade to stabilize and maybe drift a little bit higher. I've seen news that comes out like that. And at the end, when the real news comes out, it's not as bad. So somewhere in the middle lies the truth. Expecting a bazillion phone sales is not realistic. Expecting 40% less is probably not realistic. Somewhere in the middle. So it all comes out, the news usually breaks and it's as extreme as it could be. And then, oh no, it wasn't that bad. It was bad, but not that bad. So if you're a trader, maybe you can take a credit put spread lower. Depends on your time frame.
All right, you want to give us some technical levels here based on this chart?
Well, if I'm looking at it, 166 would be the level to see if they want to push it down on this news, but I doubt they'll get there. So if I had risk at 165 or lower, I probably won't be panicking over it. And also there was the 162 to 165-ish. That was a big spring higher back in end of October. So there was big conviction to cross that level. I think they will need big conviction to cross it on the way down. So if I was selling puts or put spreads, I will be in the 62.5 range, which I was, and they all expired last week for maximum gain. So I would look to reset somewhere there. But I don't want to go through the earnings with that risk, meaning if I do open it, it'll be to January probably. I think Apple reports towards the end of January, so I want to make sure not to capture that premium, even though it gives me more money because it's a premium that has extra risk because of the event. But I'd rather not live through the event with open risk.
let's stick with the tech stocks here, Nick, and let's jump into your FANG. I know you can break down Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google on a technical basis, all as one fancy chart there. Are you still doing that? Are you still tracking them all together on your own index, FANG index?
I do. They're out of favor, but, you know.
Tell us about it, because they all do move together.
Yeah, they do move together. Well, somewhat. Netflix has been kind of like
its own animal lately.
Its own animal lately, but the FANG sentiment in this rotation that everybody keeps talking about it. To me, rotation these days is nothing but the fact that the selling is based not on bears trying to push the markets down, but rather bulls booking profits from one zone and finding a place to the other. They don't want to be out of the market. They just want to be out of that part of the market to dump it into that other part of the market. And that's what causes this rotation everybody talks about. So in this case, to pick levels on the chart for FANG, 3,600 is probably the eyeball target. So they're drifting lower until this rotation meme goes back in their favor. For now, they're out of favor, and I bet you the Apple, even though it's not inside a FANG, unless you put two A's in there, it will influence the attractiveness of big tech and or lack thereof in this case. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them. I haven't checked them to see them drift lower.
They're drifting lower this morning.
So pick your favorites if you're a trader and see if you want to catch a credit put spread or two to generate income without having to own them on this drift lower. But there's plenty of room to drift lower. I mean, we're near all-time high. They're not that far away from all-time high. So like Google, for example, eyeball, you know, not an exact science, it's only within 2% of its all-time high. Well, before the close, I didn't check this morning. So it's not like it's corrected to where I need to jump in with both feet. I need to see where the market in general is going to go this week, what the headlines that we're going to fret over after this tax and debt limit headline trading zone just ended. But we need to see what's the new set of zone headlines.
What about Tesla? Because this is a stock that got a huge lift early December there. We went from 300 up to the mid-340s. We kind of topped out there, and we've been leaking here for 4 days. Now we're trading around 323 here in the pre-market. So, you know, I look at it like 300 up to 343. I know Joel looks the same way. Take a 50% retracement of that. You get, you know, around that 322, 320 area right where we're trading right now. Do you use the 50% retracement? You look at those, or are you?
I look at it. I definitely look at it. I have friends that are very technical, and we chat all day. And they follow it more religiously than I do, but it's all part of the way I look at charts a little bit different just because I didn't grow up through Wall Street. I just look at it from a logical perspective and I see who's trading where, and it always ends up to being about the same message as they have from their, you know, very nice charts with bats and sharks and all of that. So yes, the eyeball area is 300, and I placed this big white rectangle down below. I would have placed it there regardless of whether it's 50% of that or not. It just looked like a place that markets are trying to stabilize it. So if the market in general holds up, Tesla, the love for Tesla is not dead. In fact, it's probably brewing higher and higher. I read a piece from the Mercedes guy, the mustache guy, Dieter or something. And he had like a set of things that are going to change in the next 10, 20 years. It's long, long write-up, but it was kind of interesting. And Tesla was part of it. He was saying that the car industry is going to completely change, completely. And the car makers are going to die the way they are right now. So, and because of Tesla and Apple and Google, they're going to be creating computers that are on wheels more so than actual cars. And that's going to take over the transportation mode for everybody down the line. So if that's the case, you know, Tesla's in favor there. Plus I saw advertisement from Tesla for panels and stuff like that. I don't remember if it was for an email to me or what, but so, you know, I said that before, the bullish thesis on Tesla is so muddled that you can't kill it in the few months. So for it to die as a favored stock, it needs a lot of time and a lot of concepts to die.
Nick, jump over here just to a few other tech stocks that are obviously widely traded. And let's talk NVIDIA, NVDA, a stock that, you know, was hottest, one of the best stocks still performing in 2017, even though we've had a little bit of recent weakness. We're about, you know, 20 points off the highs. Trading 193 here this morning. Break down the technicals on NVDA.
Well, you guys mentioned it earlier, and it's the range, the short-term range is tightening, and usually that is a soon thereafter comes a breakout from that tightening range. So if you tell me it's trading 193 right now, I'd say watch for a potential loss of the ascending trend line. So it's set higher lows since in December, and if that trend line breaks, it may invite some momentum sellers that watch trend lines. And the next level down I would look at is 180 plus. I'm not calling for it to go there, but if that trend line breaks, that probably that's where they're going to go. And then I look to the left, and that'll probably be the last bounce zone. And it was, I think, 180 and a half ish on December 5th. So if I have risk below that, I'm not sweating too much yet. But if it does, I'll wait to see a breakdown. And if it does happen, then I'll decide if I want to catch it via credit put spread or some sold puts. If I'm longer dated, investor, and I want to go long it at 160, I bet you I can find some 160 puts to sell if I want to own the stock down the line, say middle of next quarter.
Nick, Spinner wants your thoughts on oil. He thinks 60 might be coming. What is Nick Shaheen's thoughts on oil?
You know what? Oil surprised me at how long and how hard it's been rallying because of the fundamentals have not changed. They keep telling us they're going to cut or whatever, and it's all yak. They don't, you know, nothing has changed. But technically, it's bumping along the 59 and 65-ish was the eyeball target for oil, technically speaking, although I was not in favor of it. And it withstood some pretty negative headlines in the last few weeks, and there it is, chugging along higher. I don't know where it goes from here because of whoever is in charge of it. So if you believe the Dieter guy and we're going to be so much more efficient in using these vehicles, these computers on wheels that are actually not driven by fossil fuel, unless you generate your electricity from fossil fuels, then oil is in trouble long term. So I'm not long oil here. I don't initiate long oil. The way I went long oil is by going long oil companies. I think Exxon and Chevron both had technical charts that are favorable for a spike higher on a longer term basis. That's how I would play oil, because they have the benefit of having a good company and the stock market and stocks and the oil. They move with oil, but not as tightly. So
last one I'm going to ask you about, and I'll flip it over to Joel, is Alibaba, BABA. This is a stock that, you know, I follow very closely there. I often trade it against AABA. You know, I like my little arbitrage plays there. But Baba, what are your thoughts here on the leader? It's trading down a buck in the pre-market, 175. I mean, they've had great numbers, but it's kind of been a victim of a little bit weaker tech market here as of late. Thoughts on this one going forward?
Impressive company. And the range is kind of like Apple-ish. It's like trading in a zone for a recent period of time since, well, in this case, a little bit longer. Since last August, I think, they stepped up from the above the 162 zone, and they've used that zone for support since then. So I saw a couple of good moves. I caught one or two. I mismanaged one of my trades to where, you know, I had to manage out of it for a small gain. Rather, I had a good home run and I messed it up just because I got busy. But the one thing that kept working for me is buying the bounce. So whenever it sold off against the support zone of 167-ish, it wasn't a hard line in the sand. I sold credit put spreads and I had some calls, and that's where I messed up with the call side. So I danced out of it. I flipped a debit call spread, which was bullish, into a credit call spread, and then I sold some credit put spreads against it. Basically, I'm saying trading the range. I don't want to short it, that's for sure. The only reason I flipped it to credit call spread because my trade was busted and I was trying to dance out of it, and I did. So if it comes back down towards 167, I'll probably reopen another a credit put spread for a couple of weeks and see if I can generate some income that way.
Nick, two questions before I let you go. The first question is holiday markets here, 4-day week, difference in the weekly options, the pricing. Dennis and I also talked about liquidity. any adjustments to your trading you make here and really back-to-back weeks of shortened trading?
Usually I say, you know, short trading weeks are very enticing to do some credit spreads. However, they bring drama. Don't know what it is. Maybe it's a light volume. It doesn't take much to move it this way or the other, but I do try to avoid it. However, I did have a few, and I'm not initiating anything new unless I have a clear level. So I may play an apple or two here. I don't know. I haven't checked my order book, so I'll have to go through it now. I went shopping the day before Christmas, and the stores were empty. I walked in Costco. I found a spot right at the front, and I wasn't bumping elbows with anybody. I went to Walmart. It was a little busier, but there's two people at the checkout of every register. So I think we're spending a ton of money online, but I think we're cannibalizing from the foot traffic. So I'm very interested to see how the results will come out on the retail sector. I'm short Lulu. I'm trying to save, but via March put spread, small bite just for giggles. And I sold some credit put spreads to use for this week and next in order to, for shorter term, in order to, you know, eat away at the loss I have in the Lulu trade. So I've left the debit put spread open just because I've gotten some money in worth about one third of the total expense for out. So I'm totally okay waiting another week or two to see what the holidays are going to bring.
Once you turn loose on Lulu here, just too much too fast, Nick. What's your rationale behind this one?
I picked it as a short against retail because it was the one in favor and it could do no wrong recently, suddenly. You know, so I said to myself, you know, I don't believe this retail increase. I think that it's more of a shift to online spending. I totally believe the online spending, but I think it's taken away from a lot of foot traffic. So the net on retail is not as explosive as everybody thinks it is. My thesis, and that's the way I pick at it and pick at the itch so I don't go out there and spend a whole ton of money trying to prove my thesis right.
All right. Before we let you go here, trading range here in the S&P 500, and I was just looking over the last four or five sessions, you've had all those lows at 25.80. Let's call it 79 and a quarter. Actually, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our sixth day of working on it here. Is that your line on in the sand here to see any more downside and upside? We have a bunch of tops up at the old time high 26.98, but I see a 26.96 in there. Are you just waiting to see which way this trading range resolves?
Yes, it is. We're like in a flag, whatever you want to call it, in little box, ping ponging. But we seem to ping pong and then leap higher. However, this time we could just drop a little bit. And, you know, the options market insinuated a lot lower prices, pressure to lower prices. But I think I looked at when the orders were open, it was on a really big down day. So those are panic moves buying puts. So you know, people running, oh, you know, I need to buy puts. The wheels are falling off this wagon. So the thesis needs to change before the selling persists. We may have selling. I mean, you and I have talked about it, and I did stupid trades that made me money these days because we have like a 0.5% dip one day. You know, say if the buy the dip mentality still is here, this is as big a dip that we've seen in a while, just buy it. You know, or at least don't short it. The one thing I don't do is if you see a couple of red days, you don't press it. It hasn't been sustainable.
We've been online with Nick Shaheen. He's the author of Create Income with Option Spreads. Keep you on a little long today, Nick, but always great having you on. We'll speak to you again next Tuesday.
Always fun being on.
All right. S&P's climbing back from the lows of the session here. We take it into that buy range, 83.50, now down only one tick at 85.75 in order to get green. Just one more tick. Pre-market high, 89.50. Folks, can't get too excited after that. Friday's high at 91 even. All right, Dennis, about 5 minutes ago left in the show here. Not much else on the analyst ratings. Any notable imbalances?
There's a few here. It's early, obviously, and it is holiday trade, so that is one thing to consider, is that sometimes we see an imbalance. It can be more influential because of the holiday trade, because there's obviously less liquidity sometimes to absorb if you see a big buyer or seller there. ExxonMobil 61,000 to sell, that kind of jumps out at me here, even though you look at the USO and it's just kind of trading up here, so that's why it jumps out at me, because it's kind of counter to where you think it might be. Nike 42,000 to sell. It's trading down a little bit here in the pre-market. I'm looking over at General Electric, which has not really had much tax loss selling here. And, you know, I thought it might come in, but we haven't really seen much of it yet. I mean, this is going to be the last week for that if it is going to be tax loss selling coming into GE. 255,000 to buy. So we've got a buy and balance here this morning at GE. And it's actually trading up 7 cents in the pre-market. So kind of counter the market just a little bit here. Jump over to Ford, 118,000 to sell. It's just a big number before it doesn't move around very much. Alibaba, 43,000 to sell. And then Twitter. Let's talk the technicals on Twitter. It's 32,000 to sell here this morning. Got your first bad candle for Twitter in a while there on Friday. Seeing some follow through here this morning, you know how I like my 2-day moves. So that's somewhat concerning to me, that Twitter, that candle from Friday.
Yeah, you do have considerable air in Twitter here, trading down 20 cents in the pre market. I had my eye on this one on Friday, and I didn't want to miss that double bottom that it had at 24.70, 69.70. It did take that out. Closed near the lows of the session. Let's look for a test of 23.92 today. That was your low back on the 19th, and then you got 2 days after that where the lows are nearly a buck apart, 23.13 and 22.19. The other relevant thing too here, and I should have probably been more aggressive on the short side here with Twitter. Remember when you had all the talk about the takeover and it went from 13.73? Well, the high then moved was 25.25, right? Yeah. So all the people that got bamboozled here, thinking it was getting taken over, got their money back, and it took a couple days for it to to repel off that area, but 25.25. You went through it. I mean, if you're a swing trader, that's not much. He only went to 25.56 with a triple top at the 25.50 area. So that's the thing. And just looks like losing his luster here a little bit. He had the back-to-back upgrades that got it going. So a couple different dynamics that got it up there. And now it looks like we're doing some backing and some filling. 2 minutes here left, Dennis. Any other issues you'd like to highlight?
Let's look at the retail index here, because we know sometimes you see this is, sometimes you can get some, retail. Still seasonality starts obviously today here. Retailers sometimes perform okay in this time as well. The XRT is trying to hold up. I'm just looking at the XRT, and it's interesting here because we've really been range bound the last 3 or 4 days just on that index. Look at these ranges, Joel, between 45, 55, and you can call it 45 bucks. Nice. So call it 45 to 45.50. That's setting up actually for a potential another breakout here. The only problem, you look at the internals, Kohl's kind of looks okay, but you've had a hell of a run. Macy's is still trying to figure out whether it wants to try to break out here again or not. Nordstrom's right up at that resistance of 48 bucks. And you look at Nike, and Nike had a really rough day on Friday, but actually bounced back significantly. And that bodes well, when they start buying these things on the dips. It's telling me there's still some life in retail.
Nike, big run into the report, got shellacked at that $60 area. I think you just have to keep that in mind long-term, right? Because that was the long-term trading range. So got near 60, couldn't quite hit that whole number. I just like to end the show with kind of what Nick said. I mean, I didn't do any, didn't went Christmas shopping with Lisa for like an hour and I couldn't stand it. But XRT, wow, really bunching up here. Dennis mentioned several matching highs and matching lows. All the highs at the 45.50 area, all the lows at the 45 even. So that's a trading range. That's something you need to keep an eye on, especially after such an extended run. And the point that Nick made, right? Online sales are increasing, right? But is that hurting the traffic in the stores here? So it just may be a wash. I'm going to keep a real close eye on this one heading into January. All right, 8:59 and 50 seconds here. It looks like we survived our first show without Spencer, huh, Dennis?
No gremlins either. Congratulations, yeah. Joel. Good job.
I think I played the intro twice, though. I think I got
because it. Okay. Well, you can't do a perfect Joe. Spencer needs something to complain about when he comes back.
All right, and Luke will be helping me out tomorrow. Tomorrow's guest, we're going to bring back in one more time for 2017, Tommy Lackey. So he's going to come in and share his technical thoughts. I know he's a favorite of Rob Hood, a few others in the chat. So Tommy will be on the show and. We'll be looking for some news, maybe some Bitcoin stocks. We'll see if Apple can recover from this shellacking. It's already off the lows of the pre-market session, so keep an eye on your pre-market low on Apple and also the 169 area. Well, thanks for joining us on this very frigid Tuesday morning here in the Motor City. Have a great trading day. Have a great Boxing Day. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning.